Our reading for today is taken from the book of the prophet Habakkuk, the third chapter, and he writes this at the conclusion of his prophecy. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Yesterday, the Coast Guard posted a rather eerie silent video that was shot during the evening the night before. It's with night vision. And it's the images of a capsized sailboat, about a 40-foot sailboat, that apparently had left the island of Haiti 8 days earlier with 100 people on board, roughly. More than 30 of them had already drowned, and about 60 of them are now trying to stand on the capsized boat. It's a very eerie video to watch. They had been without food and water for about 4 days. The trip had already lasted 8 days, and they were still 200 miles off of the shore of Miami. And when I watched that, it made me ask four questions. The first question: how bad must your life be that you would risk that? Secondly, how wonderful must life in our country be in their minds that they would risk that to try to come here? Thirdly, why is it we never hear about people from the United States trying to take rafts to other countries? And finally, this question: why is this their lot in life and not mine? Those are the questions that often go through my mind when I see something like that. It's very easy for me to tell you all the stuff I wish I had and all the things that I'm missing out on in life. But boy, do I have to be reminded and almost force myself to be grateful and thankful for the blessings that I do enjoy. Sometimes seeing scenes like that make me realize it. This week we have a very interesting, you might say, sort of merging that takes place with two different calendars: the church calendar and then our national calendar. The church calendar, we're in the final week of the church year. This was the week in the church year when the Holy Christian Church would base its readings and hymns and prayers all on the wonderful hope of everlasting life in heaven that we have. In other words, being focused on our eternal blessings that God has waiting for us. And yet, according to our national calendar, we, by the president's decree, have been asked to take a day in this week to be grateful for all of the earthly blessings down here in this life that we enjoy. Today, let us do both of those at one time, using the words of the prophet Habakkuk. Now, the prophet Habakkuk gives us this beautiful doxology at the end of his prophecy. Just a little bit about him and the conditions that he was living in. He actually lived during some very, very difficult times. His little nation of Judah that he was living in was stuck between some other larger foreign powers of great military strength, and they were kind of squashing his nation. And because of this, many things had gone badly for the people, and their own very faithful King Josiah had even now been put to death. And the people had started to turn away from God, and there was rampant immorality starting to come out in the people. And in the middle of all of this chaos and difficulty, the book of the prophet Habakkuk is summarized by the great question to God: why? Why does all of this happen? Why all of this turmoil and difficulty? Why must life be so hard right now? How long, O Lord, must this go on? It kind of reminds us of how fast, if God chose, how fast he could pull away from us all the blessings that we enjoy, all the things that make our lives very nice and comfortable right now. It wouldn't take very much for him to just write those out of our life very quickly. But what can we learn from the prophet Habakkuk? Despite the desperate conditions that he's living in, despite how deplorable and awful and difficult life had become for him and the people of his nation, listen to what he says. He's still grateful. He says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." And this teaches us a lesson as believers, that true contentment comes by fully understanding and recognizing by God's word what we have waiting for us in the mansions above. By first understanding that, understanding the joy that we have in the God of our salvation, and then we can come back and look at the situation we have in this life. But we must begin by understanding what we possess by faith through what Christ our Lord has done for us by dying on the cross, rising again, ascending to heaven, promising to come back to take us to be with him in that beautiful home. All by his work, we by faith now possess that. It's waiting for us. Peter says it's an inheritance that is waiting for us. And looking at life in this world from that perspective now will allow us to have contentment. I remember years ago when I was in seminary, I was reading a mission magazine, and there was an article in there. One of the missionaries from our church body had been working with a man down in Peru. And this man in Peru, it described his life, and he had a little hut with dirt floors, and he had to patch the walls all the time in his house. He had a menial little job, had hardly any income at all, had to just scratch out a living for his food. And yet the whole interview and the quotations from this man was just nothing but happiness and joy. And it was because he was so excited that his children had now come to learn about Christ as their Savior. And he was so excited to have seen them get baptized. And it just went on, praising God for this. And it made me realize how some people can just be blessed with that gift of contentment and gratitude, even though their life in this world can be pretty dire. Listen to what Luther says. "There are many people whose heart God can fill so that they may have only a morsel of bread and yet are cheerful and more content than any prince or king." You see, one of our problems in life, I know for myself, is we tend to focus on the things we don't have. We tend to focus on the things we wish we had. We tend to focus on the dreams that maybe didn't quite work out the way we wanted. But contentment from God's design, contentment comes by understanding in faith what you do have in Christ, what you have waiting for you, the beautiful home of perfection and bliss that will last forever with the angels above. And then remembering how absolutely, absolutely unworthy we are of that. It's purely by his grace. It's just a gift from our gracious God. We don't deserve it at all. Thank God he doesn't give us what we deserve. But look what he's given us. And with that in mind, we now can come back to whatever condition we have in life, whatever we have in life, whatever amount of money, whatever amount of health, whatever joy we have in this life, and to still find contentment because of looking at it from that eternal perspective. And may we then say with the prophet Habakkuk, "Even if the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, or I have other problems in my life, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever." Amen.